Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, good evening. My name is Robin Tate, and I'm at Bongo the Sane. I am in Northern Ireland, in Ballymena. And this is episode 472 of the Overseas Connection podcast. And today is April 29th, 2018. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for downloading, for jumping on live, and for whatever way you digest this show. Thanks for being here. This is a gaming podcast for more mature, age-wise, mentally, people. We play games, we talk about life, and have a great old time. And we go out every week live on Sundays at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, and 4 p.m. in the East Coast. You'll find us at twitch.tv/OC Podcast, on Mixer.com OC Podcast, and on YouTube at the Overseas Connection Podcast. So, whichever way you find us, thank you for coming along and listening. Tonight, there's just the three of us. We've got Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello.
We've got Mark.
Hello. Hello, Mark. That's a magic number. Three's a magic number.
Spinning those decks. Thank you, Mark. I'm really good. I have had a hell of a week. It has been unbelievable. No, and I mean that in a good way. It's been unbelievably busy. I've got a household now of 8 people. We've got a new baby in the house. Woohoo! So I've got my own boys and now 4 foster children, an unbelievably busy job, and I packed as much as I possibly can into life, every second of it filled. And that's good. Do you know what? Don't have a lot of time for much. Every minute is pretty much planned, but I'm having a ball and I'm enjoying life, and and I hope you are too. And fitting this in as well is lovely. I love doing this. Phil, what about you? You're in a strange looking room. You're out of your studio because the wife told you to.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah. No, I've moved into the inside, into indoors, so I'm not out in the garden anymore. Now in the kennel, and my old studio's been used as a storeroom now. So that does mean that I'm not going to get freezing cold in the winter and boiling hot in the summer. Which is nice. So, busy week for me as well. New job, lots of driving, hour and a half, 2 hours each way. But it has meant that I've been able to catch up with podcasts, and I'm now on to book 3 of Undying Mercenaries.
That's narrated by R.C. Bray, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Is it really?
I think so. I'm not sure. I don't know who he is, but he's very good. It's B.V. Larson.
B.V. Larson. Yeah. Well, if it is R.C. Bray, he's brilliant. Yeah, I'm on Galaxy something or else. And just for me, my listening habits have changed. Yes, I am still listening to lots of, and I love listening to the sci-fi and the big epic stuff. Yes, Galaxy's Edge by Nick Knoll, narrated by R.C. Bray, and there's a pile of those. I've got Galaxy Outlaws by J.S. Moran lined up, but I've been listening to really positive stuff. So I'm going, this guy, I don't know, you've probably heard of people that have in businessy stuff, maybe will have heard of this, or just generally, if I call Jack Canfield, a famous sort of American guy, and he wrote this book years ago called The Success Principles, about these 64 success principles for life. And I have to say, it's quite inspiring. It's quite good to listen to. So, I mean, I sort of balance between some story stuff, but during going to work and around work in the car, I listen to this stuff here. And I've just, over the last couple of months, I've found myself being positive about being busy. I was getting swamped with work and life and everything, and thought one of them have to be maybe adjust the way I think about stuff. I can.
And are you still sticking to the 5-second rule?
Yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah, I've got hold of that. I've just got to read it now.
Yeah. So the 5-second rule was a girl called Mel Robbins. Short enough book. It's an audio book again. And this, again, I suppose that was maybe the start of it a while back. This is, we all procrastinate. We all put stuff off to tomorrow. We all sit on the sofa for a wee bit longer than we should. And this is about that little split second of you have an idea to go and do something and you talk yourself out of it straight away. You think of an excuse immediately. And the 5-second rule is a very simple little technique that you sort of count backwards, not forwards. You count backwards because if you go forwards, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is the launch, like a rocket launch, and it launches you off. And when you have that idea, within 5 seconds, get up, go and do it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, great. But it just, it's forced me and changed the way I'm approaching things. Because again, with a household like I have, you have to be organized. So I'm positive about life. So it's good. Mark, how's about you, buddy?
Pretty steady week. Not really exciting. I finished Lost in Space this week. So I finished that series. Quite a good ending. A couple of twists and turns. So I can't wait for the next season now. I hope we're going to do one.
Yeah, I watched most of an episode today while I was doing other stuff around the kitchen. I had it on the background. I was sterilizing bottles. God knows what I was doing. It is good. It is. It's twisty. It is. It's not terribly dark and
no.
But it's good. There's nice villains in it and some wee twists and turns.
Yeah, the visual effects are really good in that, and the setting and everything. The family's good. I recognised the woman straight away. The actress is Molly Parker. She was in House of Cards. She was the chief whip who took over from Frank Underwood.
Oh, of course.
She was having an affair with the black guy. I can't remember his name. That press guy.
The PR spin. Wasn't she was in the army or something? I watched something big this week. My son, my eldest son, about 2 months ago bought tickets for Avengers Infinity Wars for myself and Charlie. So on Thursday evening, we went to the showing of Avengers Infinity Wars. Have you seen yet?
No spoilers, no, please. I need to see Black Panther first and then see this, but yeah, I can't wait.
No, I didn't see Black Panther. Maybe there was a character or two, that must be Black Panther, whatever. It's really good. There's an awful lot going on in it. Thought it was a wee bit too long, but I think of that about most movies these days. I think the 2 hours, 20-odd minutes is too long for a movie. And with so many characters, to Joshua on the way home, it was a wee bit long, you know. I said, yeah, but there was 21 characters to get through. There was an awful lot of story. And I'm going, Pulp Fiction kept it tight. And, you know, lots of movies can keep it tight. But, you know, it was very, very good. Amazing effects, of course. It was big budget all the way. And the cinema was full, and you could tell it was mostly full of really invested people because they didn't get up when the movie ended. They sat there
waiting for the end credits.
Waiting for the
The old Marvel end credit.
And the extra little bit.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, it's not a spoiler, but you could have heard a pin drop in the whole cinema when the movie finished. An absolute pin drop, and that's all I shall say.
It's taken more in the opening weekend than Star Wars did.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I suppose if you can tell, we were at the cinema for the sort of opening night of Star Wars as well, and it was half full, and this was packed. So, that was good. So go and see it, or wait to see it. But, it was very good. Very interesting. Lots of characters.
I saw a movie this week.
What did you see?
I saw Pacific Rim Uprising, which is a lot more cheesy than what you've just seen. Not as good. Yeah. It's very cheesy, but it's a good fun popcorn movie. I don't think it's as good as the first one. But John Boyega from the new Star Wars, who plays Finn, he's in this one, and he does a good job. He actually makes a film. He's quite funny in this one.
So, I enjoyed the first one. It was
good. Yeah, I loved the first one. Yeah.
It's a popcorn movie. This is
more of the same, with just different characters. It's similar plot line with a few little twists, but yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
I watched the first one. I mean, those Tahitian girls with you know, doing that thing in the Pacific was fantastic. This is a different Pacific.
Different, wrong rimming. Okay.
I'll watch it sometimes. I don't think it's something I would go. I think you didn't go to the cinema to see it. It's been out a while, has it?
I don't know. I watched it via me.
We do not condone this. It was all right. It's funny how my attitude to all that stuff has changed.
Yeah.
I was the king piracy back in the day.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a bit more expendable income or something. I just don't feel.
I'm in time to watch everything.
That's it too. You have to be very selective about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I would be very remiss of me not to mention the Arcade Club from last week. And I know you talked about it, Mark.
I'd like to hear what you thought.
So, well, my experience was a bit different. I mean, there's a video up that I put together of it's Charlie and Robin's Day Out.
Is that on YouTube?
Yeah.
I'll put that up, actually.
So my 12-year-old, who had been on there in the last visit, and he was quite funny because he thought it happened every year, getting him up out of bed and chatting in the car on the way to the airport and all the way through. And he had a ball. Now he's 12, so he couldn't get to the other floor. Of course, we did sort of sneak him in towards the end and kept him in the corner. But the first Arcade Club was fantastic. The first of it was 3 or 4 years ago now. And I had a great time there. It was good. I mean, Phil, you were up there.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
But this place here is just out of this world, where there was that one little room or decent sized room shed in the first one. This here is slick. It's if you can imagine a really trendy warehouse with exposed brick, like a New York apartment sort of thing, really trendy. This is exactly where the Arcade Club should be. This was it. So the floor with the most of the old classic machines, there must have been 150 machines, if not more, up there. It was just everywhere you went, and people that hadn't experienced it before, like Mike Chinn's brother, I just watched him going around going, wow.
It was like a kid in a sweet shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, and even Charlie was going, Dad, there's just too much. I mean, what do you play next? I said, just play them all. the other floor with all of the weird and wonderful Japanese stuff and VR stuff and the pinball tables and more classic machines and a bar, and the food was pretty good, and the price, I mean, 15 quid for Charlie and I for that full day, that's nothing. I thought it was too cheap. I mean, I'm not complaining too much, but I thought it was too cheap.
Value day out, yeah. When my nephews come up in the summer holidays, we're going to go over. Me, JM, and two nephews are going to go back. It's really good.
So, I mean, my car hire cost me 32 quid for that day, which is for nothing to drive up, and 15 quid and a panini and a couple of drinks. I mean, they were charging 50p for a bottle of water, and you know, where charges 50p for a bottle of water these days?
I know, even the cans of pop, I was shocked. A can of Diet Coke was 50p. Normally, you'd expect to pay a quid, £1.25 at these venues. So, yeah, it wasn't ripping you off.
And you wouldn't really mind paying normal rates. But, you know, it maybe encourages more people to come back. It was great to see. There's a whole area with loads of Minecraft, like a whole little internal LAN with about 15 little PCs set up. And there was lots of sofas. So there was lots of mums there and prams and babies. So there was like a little safety bit for the young kids. And to get into it, it was a very secure place. Again, it wasn't a kid's day, but you have to go through a reception and through a couple of corridors before you get into the place. And it looked, and they had security on board. Very, very slick operation. So and meeting lots of different people. There were people I hadn't met before, which was brilliant. I was high on life that day, I think. I was dancing on that stupid dancing machine.
Oh, while you're waiting for your food, holding your balloon and your drink.
Yeah. I saw the video of that. You looked like you knew what you were doing.
but it wasn't even on. He'd never even press start. He was just doing it.
So look, I had an absolutely fantastic day. It was great that the Veteran Gamers guys sort of organized that as well. So the only issue was we maybe weren't as organized as we thought we were, because we had trophies and bits and pieces, and I'm back home here very guiltily with a Donkey Kong Champion 2018 trophy. Now, it really wasn't much of a competition. And the same thing, I mean, Charlie's home with the Street Fighter one, and I guilted Stu into playing Charlie because Charlie wanted to, he'd been practicing Street Fighter and he wanted the chance to win the trophy. I have to admit, Jay, and there is a video clip of him getting his chicken dinner, which is the end of it. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
9 kills. It was like, wow.
It was just watching him, we were just all sort of like in awe behind him, weren't we? And when he got it, we all started cheering.
9 kills in PUBG. It's like, I'm gonna call it Call of Duty.
When Stu gave him his trophy, he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. He was so happy. When we got home, he was buzzing. He was showing his mum and everything. And he was so buzzing after that day. He really enjoyed it.
I mean, there were people from all over the country. I mean, Brian Rain Godzilla, way up in Scotland.
Antonio, oh my God, did you listen to Entertain Nerds? He had a job getting home, did Antonio?
I seen a clip on his Instagram.
His train was cancelled.
Dumped him 40 miles away from home.
Yeah, and they're supposed to help him out, aren't they? Or get him home somehow. It's their sort of like responsibility, duty of care, but they didn't. They just says, get as far south and improvise. That's what they told him. Poor kid. It took him 6 hours to get home. 75 quid as well, it cost him extra.
Heartbreak, rich. Poor lad. Improvise.
Yeah.
So, it was a fantastic day. Really loved it. Not too much trouble for me. It's half an hour to the airport and 55-minute flight and then half an hour up in the car, and I would definitely do that again. It was very, very good. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you live anywhere in I suppose North England, and you're a gamer,
it's quite central, really. Yeah, it's easy to get to. It's not far from the motorway at all, is it?
No, because literally I came off onto the motorway from the airport, and it was just like one turn off and then turn right and left, and then you're there. It was great. Super. So to everybody that was there and I met, hello, lovely to meet you. Some of you looked how I expected you to, and some of you didn't.
Jay's chicken dinner's just come on stream now.
Oh, there it is.
9
kills.
You can
see that now. It's just the very end of it. It's just the look on his face.
He
grabs the camera, he takes a photograph, and then he turns around to stand up and goes, oh, I'm not doing that again. It's very, very good. The last thing I just want to mention is this morning before my magnificent 7 got up out of bed, I usually get up quite early, and I was going out to the treadmill, and I've moved the treadmill out to here. So there's some other devices that we have, vibrating plates and a cross trainer. So I've got a gym out here, and the treadmill decided not to start up. Now, I used to be a big runner. I used to run a lot. All half marathons and marathons. And I've really got it out of the habit. But I want to get back to the game. Anyway, couldn't get the treadmill started. So I thought, I used to run marathons. I can do this for real. So out I went and down the lane. And I was down the lane about half a mile. And bang went my left calf. And all the thousands of miles that I have ran over the years, I have never, ever, ever blown a muscle. And I hobbled back like Long John Silver, the half mile back to the house at, this was probably 7:30 in the morning, if my leg was shorts on. I have been hobbling around all day. And I'm told some people, I put it on Facebook, and some people, by Paul Hicken, has came back to me and a few people and said, look, it's the running on the treadmill you've got used to again, and running on the road's different. So maybe just getting old, and that's maybe it.
How long is that going to take to heal then?
Well, do you know what? Thankfully, it was a Formula One day today. And in between looking after the baby and Judith being in night, I had the baby and all the kids yesterday, all day by myself. It's just, I have tried to keep the food up and try to keep off it as much as I can. So it'll probably be, I don't think it's that bad. I caught it soon and I didn't run on it. So recognized it from my experience from before. So hopefully in a day or two, it'll be okay. I still feel it really tight, but it's nowhere near as tight as it was earlier on. Horrible. Getting fit again. And again, this is all to do with trying to get fit and trying to win the race of weight loss with my wife at the moment. And if you want to follow on that, there's weekly episodes every Wednesday. If you go to bongosbits.com, you'll see those are on my Facebook page at Robin Tate. And yeah, that's surprisingly taking on a whole life of itself. People that I didn't even realize were following me are when I on the phone, even some customers of mine saying, oh, we're rooting for Judith. Yeah. Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, you know, how's the weight loss? Don't we lose too much weight? Anyway, I have lost in the 3 weeks now about 9 pounds. So
that's good.
Oh, good going.
I've a fair bit to go yet before I get to where I was even in July of last year. Anyway, anything else you just want to mention to each other about before we move on?
No, we have had a new Podbean follower.
Oh, good.
I don't know how to pronounce this. Atek G35. He's following us on Podbean now, which Atek is our audio hosting provider.
Welcome. I am going to take a slight break here. Sorry, this year. So last night, I made some nice strawberry daiquiris again. And, well, one thing and another happened, and I didn't drink them all. And Judith didn't have any, so... And I've realised, I mean, daiquiri is like a slush, icy, slushy strawberry gin drink. And the next day, all of the ice disappears and it turns into a smoothie, which must be very healthy for you because it's just all strawberries, lemons and limes.
And Bacardi.
So I'm having a smoothie now. Okay. Let's get chatting about... some games, I suppose. Yup. It's game
time. Today I feel like playing computer games. It's game time.
Okay. Games with Benefits is us making the most of the games that we get from our subscription service for free. Can I clarify? For free. There's been an ongoing debate with our Lord and Master, Greg DeLacy. That these games are not free. Well, everybody has their own opinion, and in my opinion, they are. Because I would still be paying for my Xbox Live and my PSN, whether I got free games or not. And we all did this for many years. We didn't get anything free. So this is just a nice bonus. Yes, they're part of the service, but they don't really have to do it, either of them, and they do. So... these are we actually clarified it with Greg, so they are free games with your subscription service. It's how Greg DeLacy would like us to describe this. Okay, so you can make your own mind up. These are all intelligent people. Okay, Mark.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Oh, thanks.
So look, so this month hasn't went as well as last month. I don't know everybody that's going at this here, but I haven't been playing any more of The Witness. And last month I played so much of Super Hot. I haven't touched Trackmania Turbo. So that's kind of odd. Sorry. Now, I know Sarah, who's in the chat. Hello, Sarah. She loves her bit of Trackmania. I know Kim was playing Rayman. So have you touched any of these?
Nope.
No, I started The Witness, but I've not been back to it. And I haven't touched Trackmania on PS4. I did play it on Xbox a while ago when it was free on there.
Yeah, a bit of it. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed Syndicate, though.
Oh, see, now I had just finished it. And that is a very
good game. Oh, that was
game.
A freebie game, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of, and a lot of value, too, for free.
Yeah, superb for free game.
Yeah, and I had a great time with it. In fact, I the pack that I bought, I think I paid a tenner for it, but it had all the DLC. So there is Jack the Ripper DLC to go back to play. And there's, again, when are you ever done with an Assassin's Creed game? I think Assassin's Creed 2, is, I think I 100% did it and done absolutely everything in it. And then if I had went back in again, it would just be to wander around. But I think this is so big. Have you got quite into it? Have you got far in? Or?
No, still in the... I've only just reached London. So I've done the missions in Croydon with the brother and sister.
And the, on the you've done the first sort of train, yes, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, it's very good, very exciting.
It's excellent. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So definitely, I think out of all of them, that's probably one of the very best values out of all those. Now, Mark, you have managed to grab the May Games with Gold and PSN. And with a strange...
And Twitch. I've got all three.
Oh, wow. Because it's not often that the PlayStation stuff comes out. They must have made a decision for them to come out... older. Okay, yes, Mad Max, sir. Yeah, Mad Max is another cracking big game out there that was free as well. So for Gold, for Xbox One in May, you've got Super Mega Baseball 2 and fantastic. I know it's been free on several different places before and it's been in the Game Pass.
I thought, was it Mega Baseball 1 a free game about 6 months ago?
Yeah. And then you've got Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
And that is a brilliant game. I really enjoyed that. I've played it on PS4, so I've actually got this in the sale, so, but I might have another go again on the Xbox version for the achievements.
I loved it, but I hate it at the same time.
Yeah, the story's bonkers. Yeah. It's absolutely batshit crazy, but the gameplay is so good.
I've got it and played it for about 15 minutes. Didn't really get into it. I enjoyed the little prequel they did. I think I just need to spend a bit more time. It's, at the moment, I'm running around as if, well, I've no idea what I'm supposed to be doing. So.
Yeah, and eventually, Phil, there's a point where it just gets its hooks in you, and maybe that's the point where you meet quiet. I'm not quite sure. No idea why that would be. There's a point where it grabs you, and there are so many little meta games and menus and extra things you can do, but it is a beautiful game. When does it finish? When does it end? I'm not sure, but I got to the point where I think I had 60, 70, 80 hours into it, and I thought, right, okay, the story seems to be going on a bit, but I think I've done everything that I need to do here.
I think the end of the game is when you beat that end boss thing, that massive robot thing.
No, is it?
Oh, all right.
No. Come on, it's Kojima. No, it goes on forever.
Never.
The Xbox 360, Sega Vintage Collection, Streets of Rage, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. But Vanquish.
Yeah.
No, I want to hear people talk about Vanquish.
I've not played this yet, and I've heard so many good things about it.
I have it on the PS3. I remember getting it free.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There. Yeah, I still haven't played it.
And I played it a bit, but I might actually go back and play it here. Because it's supposed to be really good. See, it was the one where you slid around.
Yeah.
It was sort of gears.
Yeah, the gears cover system, but then you had the sliding mech suits and everything.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
So there's, Vanquish is quality, and Metal Gear Solid is quality there. For PlayStation, you've got Beyond Two Souls. I'm interested. David Cage. I never played it, so yeah. I think some people loved it and some people hated it. Rayman Legends is fabulous.
Yeah, it's a great game, is that? Yeah.
It's fantastic. I put a lot of time into that. On PS3, you've got Risen 3, Titan Lords, and Eat Them. I have no idea. PS Vita, King Oddball, and Fermins. And then with the Twitch Prime, you've got Gone Home. Yeah, never got Gone Home. I've played it. God, I just think it's just... Maybe, again, it's one of those things where I need to stick with it. It just seemed boring.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say it's boring and pretentious, and then the odd few, like Stu, who likes weird and shit games, say they loved it. So, yeah. I suppose it's to each individual's taste, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. I just felt it was like walking around, looking in drawers, and reading stuff. Psychonauts, very, very good game from the past. High Hell, I Hope, Cluster Truck, which is in the Game Pass on Xbox at the moment, which is kind of weird. It's like a first-person jumping on top of 40-foot trucks as they move along in a very strange way. Looks like a phone game or anything else. And Titan Souls, which is a classic big game there too on Twitch. So that's them. We will have to decide what we will focus on. For me, it'd definitely be Vanquish. I want to definitely touch Beyond Two Souls. Yeah, that's it for me. Yeah, those two will probably be the ones I'm going to be going at. What do you think, listeners? What do you want to play out of those? Out of them, what have you not played? What have you played, and what would you recommend from the freebies? All right, stuff that we've played ourselves. Phil, you've got a list. Let's bop around a wee bit. Let's take a turn at a time here and talk through some of these. So, we'll take it from the top, Phil. XCOM 2.
Yeah, so I thought I'd give this another go. Really enjoyed the first XCOM on 360 and iPad and on the Xbox One. And thought I'd, see what it was like with the, now I'm on the One X, and it looks fantastic.
Oh, it's got the enhancement, hasn't it? It's been patched,
It looks really, really good.
But how much better could it look, Phil? I mean, you just move chess pieces around. I mean, there's not a lot of big movement in it.
I don't know. It does feel, the base itself, when you're on the base screen, all those rooms are a lot more detailed. The actual game itself doesn't necessarily feel actually improved, the actual gameplay, but it's a great game, so I've just been getting back into that. Really enjoying it, and I've just picked up The Enemy Within, which was the second DLC on my iPad. So I'm going to give that a go. I'm back in the XCOM mood.
Yeah, there are. I mean, Greg is a big fan. A few people are big fans of this. I don't think that turn-based stuff is really me, but I recognise that it's a very, very good game.
I loved the first one.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, I need to put some time into the second one, because the second one's a lot harder, isn't it? It's not as forgiving.
Yeah, I'm finding it really difficult. I've actually started again, so just all my forces kept being killed off.
In the first game, all you had to do was get your guys into a box where the ship is to extract, but on the new one, you have to get each one up the rope and everything. And
also, it's a number of turns.
Yeah,
quite a few of the rounds you have to complete it within 8 turns or within 6 turns. Yeah. That adds a completely new dimension to it. You can't take your time. You have to go, before you could take, 50 turns to get it, and just every time go into Overwatch so that they spring into action when someone walks in their line of fire. But now you just have to really crack on with it.
And if you don't make it to the ship, they get left behind, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you come across them later when they've been turned into zombified people? Or?
Not yet. No, not yet.
I won't put it past them to do that to you.
Yeah. A cool game. XCOM's on the Game Pass somewhere. Maybe I should go back to it. Isn't there two versions of the old one? Like a revised version or something?
Yeah, the Enemy Within. It's got the DLC, and it also enables a few extra little tweaks to the original game.
Yeah. Maybe go back. Mark, you've been doing some more PUBG?
Yeah, the test server for the Miramar map, which is a desert map, has been released on Xbox this week. So me and Uncle Greggles has been having a play about with that. And it's pretty good. Excuse me. It's running well. There's a few issues with the test server. We hadn't had any disconnects or anything, but we had a bit of lag at the beginning with a plane, but nothing too serious. But the map's quite huge. It's physically the same size as the other one, but it feels bigger because it's more open. You've got the little towns and settlements and the industrial areas. I mean, you've got massive deserty areas between them. There is a bit of cover from sort of like rocks and roots and dips in the sort of like surface of the ground. But
Miramar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. there's new weapons, there's new vehicles. So one of the weapons is a sawn off shotgun now, which goes in your pistol slot. And it's really powerful if you're close up, but if you're not close up, it ain't going to do much damage. There's the camper van. What Chinny did a video recently with the Venga Boys dancing away. That was quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that. Was good fun.
It's really good. It's looking good. So for a test run, it's looking promising. I just hope when they release it properly in May, you've got an option which map you can choose.
Now, I'm not a professional PUBG player. Okay, now there is one that's just jumped into the chat. Hello, Fraser. And I played a couple of rounds on Miramar on the PC, and I quite liked it. But that's my opinion. But yes, there was lots of open spaces, but I did go sort of through gullies and craggy bits and stuff like that there, and I thought it was quite cool. Jumped into the VW camper van and was doing very, very well in the game until I managed to kill myself in the camper van. It does look good. Fraser seems to think you look like a woodsman, Mark.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of a new beard. Yeah. But yeah, me and Greg last night, we had a really good run. We was quite lucky with a circle. We got some really good loot. And it got down to four of us. There was me and Greg and two of us, and the circles were quite small. But we didn't have the advantage of being there first in the circle. These other two guys were. One of them managed to shoot Greg, and I shot him. And it was just me and one other guy left. We both saw each other at the same time. We both opened fire on each other, and he just picked me to it. So we got second place. We were so close to his chicken dinner on the new map. But it was good. It was a really good round.
Yeah, I wonder because I've watched a bit of that shotguns only thing, and that looks quite cool too. So they bring some of that to the console as well. Yeah. It'll be good fun. I do have some PUBG bits of news later on. We'll have a wee chat about that as well. A quick game that I've been playing, Typo Man. I don't know where I got Typo Man from. I do not know.
Is it in Game Pass? I've seen this somewhere. I'm sure I've seen this somewhere.
I bought it, seemingly. I don't know when I bought it, but I maybe in a drunken stupor some night. And I fired it up. The other morning early, I think I had Bobby on my knee, or Bobby sort of sleeping, and everybody was up. And I thought, God, I gotta give this a go. And Typo Man, it looks like Limbo. And that's about it. It is a platformer. You do die gruesomely, but you're an O. I mean, a letter O. And you manage to cobble together a few other letters. And you sort of create this little man character, and you wander through the world like Limbo, same art style, and you open a gate. Sometimes there'll be other letters lying around, and you have to spell out the word open.
Oh, yeah, I've just seen one which says par, and then it flips over and hits you because it's trapped backwards.
Is
this on Xbox?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of cool, actually. I'm going to play away at this because I love the Limbo style, and it's like Scrabble. It's quite unique. I would never have thought about putting the two things together, but it is a very high production value, and it's kind of funky. And Limbo, I don't know how long it is, but Typo Man. Check it out. I'm sure it's as cheap as chips. I honestly do not. I'm sure I bought it, but I can't remember when I bought it.
I wonder if it's on Game Pass. I'll have to have a look.
Oh, yeah, have a look at that. Yeah, check out Typo Man. Yeah, it's lovely. It's very nice. Cool. And you play a game and improve your English. That's what it is.
Every day is a learning day.
It is indeed. Okay, who next? Phil.
Okay.
You're foreshadowing.
I am. I'm foreshadowing. Getting ready for May the 22nd.
Ooh, I know what this is then.
Yeah. State of Decay 2 comes out. Yeah. I thought I'd, after all the hype and I've seen the videos, I thought I'd give the first one a go, which is on Game Pass on the Xbox at the moment. It's a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah, it's a bit janky, isn't it? It's a bit rough, and the combat's a bit rough, but the premise is really good.
The name of the other game with the zombies and Frank, what's it? Has gone from
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
Yeah.
The combat reminds me of that, basically, kicking and hitting zombies and killing them, obviously. But, yeah, it seems okay. The colouring is, I don't know whether it's trying to upscale on the Xbox One X, but the colouring seems a bit weird in the forest with the autumn time with the orange leaves everywhere. I'm going to give it a bit more. It's easy, it's, you know, easy to play, and the characters seem good, but I think I'm more going to be ready for State of Decay 2 with it's a bit more polished, and also it's got the drop in and out multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Do you think it is going to be more polished? I mean, isn't it $24.99? Isn't it a cheaper game? It's not a full $60, $50 game.
Look at Uncharted Lost Legacy. Look at Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. They were £25 games.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
The thing I like about State of Decay is it's not just a zombie bashing game. There's strategic elements to it as well. You have to build your community. You have to build defenses for that community. You have to assign tasks to people. And if the character you're playing dies, is gone forever, or she has gone forever, and then you go into another one of the other characters who's at your sort of like base camp site sort of thing. So yeah, it's got this different element to it, and I quite enjoyed this on 360.
Yeah, and with the multiplayer part, you're not playing, so each of you still has your own community in the background, so you're not all the same working for the same community. You've got your own communities you're working for, but you're working together, so that's quite different, so it doesn't really impact hugely your single player experience, but it's still linked.
Every time I think about it, I just think about that clip they showed at E3 and all the other places where you're this, is it an Asian girl, or and the big zombie comes and cuts you up in half or something, or you get blown away by the big fat zombie guy.
Oh yeah, there's a big fat zombie guy. Yeah,
rips you in half or something. Or
The little girl one though, I thought that you were referring to the Dead Island one.
No.
Well, I watched some gameplay today, and it reminds me quite a bit of Left 4 Dead. So
It's like a cross between Left 4 Dead and Dead Island, I think, to me. Yeah.
Pills here.
I'm looking forward to it.
And what date is that again?
22nd.
20 seconds, free with Game Pass.
Yeah. About free 3.5 weeks. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's nice. Actually, that Game Pass thing is there's a whole pile more stuff coming into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about it now. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Woohoo! Game of the year last year for me. You liking it,
Mark Wright sent me Horizon Zero Dawn, and I've started playing it now for about a week and a half, and I keep falling asleep when I'm playing it.
If you'd have said that before you went to the arcade club, I'd have slapped you.
No. Before you all start shooting me, I think it's because I'm tired. new baby in the house and all that, and when I play it's later on, and I've noticed that the times when I'm tired is when I come up with the Mass Effect style speech, where you've got maybe four choices or five choices of things that you can ask questions about. I try to go through them all, and I, just as I'm listening to them, I find myself nodding off, and I go, here we go. It is pretty stunning looking. Alloy, I love the little girly character at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I have just became one of the New Seekers. That's a band from the 70s. So I've just become a New Seeker. God, ABBA are coming back, anything's possible. And I'm going off into lands untold. The big set piece of the challenge to become a accepted member of the community. I've done it.
Yeah, the trial. Yeah,
the big ambush stuff at the end. And there just seems to be lots of thick people that think the old computers are gods, and Alloy seems to have already realized that these people are a bit thick on it, and it's just a computer. But do you know what? It looks fabulous. I can't wait to bump into some of those big dinosaurs, because they've been sort of medium-sized ones. And
yeah,
I think
you do meet some big ones. Yeah, you do, yeah. I think there's about nine or ten in total. different ones.
Yeah, so it plays very well. There's lots of talky bits in it, and they look fantastic. The eyes, I always look at the eyes. It's not too Uncanny Valley. It looks natural enough.
Yeah,
it looks great.
And the voice acting is top notch.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. I have wowed a bit about it every here and then, and I will continue on with it. It's very exciting. Horizon Zero Dawn. So thanks for sending it over, Mark, and I'm going to continue with it.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good. Mark, I'm going to just touch on the last thing there, your Late Shift, because I did jump into it a wee bit last night and I got another ending.
Right,
I was halfway through.
Yeah.
And I got an ending where I got arrested for murder at the end of it.
All right.
Which is completely different to anything that I've had so far, which is really why I was set up for murder and ended up getting arrested, and that was the end of it. And I've caught with a knife in my hand, which was covered in blood beside a dead body, and I got scooped, which was kind of cool. You've been playing some Late Shift as well. Have you went through it again?
I've not played it again yet, but my first ever playthrough. so for those who don't know, Late Shift is like a full motion video, and the decisions you make influence what the character does. Is it on iOS as well? It's it's really well put together. I was very impressed. The acting's really good. There's a little bit of slowdown and glitchiness between the decisions, but you'd expect that because it's having to spool the next lot of footage. But the story path I took, it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go at first, and there was a few twists and turns. But the outcome was not too bad for my first game. But I'm definitely going to play it again because there's so many variables. It's a really good...
I mean, it's not really a spoiler because there's about seven ends. No way you're all going to see the end of it. So, yeah, one of the ones I go off with a girl hand in hand with lots of money. Another one I've ended up dying, and another one I end up actually not getting anywhere near the end at all and going off home. So it pays to make different decisions all the way through it. So it's and the first one. Was the one that I went off and with a girl and with lots of money.
Yeah.
And I was making the decisions that Robin would make. So, and then I started to go, well, let's step out of our comfort zone and do things that you wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So, it's very, very good. Well, it's not really a game. It's an experience and a movie more than anything else.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting.
I remembered what you said about at the beginning where the woman wants to borrow the car, the Maserati. And I know you said that initially you said no, but then she didn't help you later on. So in my game, I said, oh, yeah, but something else happened. That guy turns up. And she didn't end up taking the car anyway. So when I did meet her later on in the game, she wouldn't help me anyway. So I must have gone a different. There must be a couple of different branching paths before you sort of like let take the car. So yeah, so it's very interesting. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, one of the ones I reported the bad guys that were trying to get me to do stuff.
Yeah.
And they ended up sort of arresting me, and I got arrested in the back of a meat wagon, and I was being transported to prison, and the Chinese guys hijacked the van and broke me out, which is brilliant. It's very, very good. Play Late Shift. It's fantastic. And again, as Phil says, there you go. You can play it on PC. Not it's on iOS there as well. So, and it's won lots of awards at film and festivals and stuff like that there. And it's very original.
Mm.
So that's really, really good. So Mark, I've sort of hijacked that. Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. Is this the first time you played it?
It is, yeah. So this is actually a game you gifted me a while ago, Robin. And I'll see if I've got the footage. I thought I queued it up. No, I haven't. I'll get it up on the stream. It's a
platformer.
It's a platformer, like cartoony type graphics. And you have this like mafia hitman who has to go in and rescue his dude. But there's a zombie outbreak at the same time. And it's just so fun. Some of the animations and that.
The way he talks, it's like he's like, I don't know, I'm not going to do it. Like a Chicago gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's kind of cool and offhanded about the zombies that are coming towards him. And yeah. And it's brilliant. It's very, it's funny. It's tongue-in-cheek. And bits of it do get hard.
Yeah,
boy.
God. I got to, I'm on the sewer level and there's a big giant rat. In fact, yeah. It's on screen now. And last night I was tired and I tried to beat this rat and I didn't. I put it in the chat. I didn't end up rage quitting. I just perturbed quit.
It was a Canadian rage.
Yeah. I politely turned it off and went no more. It was doing my head in. It was very tough. But yeah, it's really good. I've just got the minigun now, which is a really good weapon. I just wish you had more ammo. And the little leprechauns on the balloons, they're funny. Every time I see them, I always think of you, Robin. I don't know why. Hurry, hurry.
It's funny you mentioned Left 4 Dead earlier on, because even though it is a silly little platformer, there are parts of it that the zombies come running at you,
yeah.
Just like Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
There's like big, like a horde of them coming running really quickly.
I've got to one stage where there's a load coming and I threw a grenade. And I got two achievements, one for killing 5 with one grenade and one for killing 10 with one grenade. So that was quite satisfying.
So, look, if you like a little platformer and you like a bit of tongue-in-cheek stuff, and just have a look at what Guns, Gore & Cannoli is. Now, when I was at EGX last year, Guns, Gore & Cannoli 2 was there. It's coming out soon. That looks like more of the same, to be honest with you. But I believe it's out now or out very soon. I think it's out now, actually. It's on Steam. But it's a great little game. Good fun. I love this sort of game and Late Shift and stuff like that as much as I like Horizon Zero Dawn and the big games now, does that say something about my stage of life? I don't know. Maybe it says something about the time that I have. I enjoy the tighter, the 4, 5, 6 hour game now. Really, really.
Yeah, that's more like it. It's down to time now.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll get onto this in a bit, but I've just finished a big game, which is Far Cry 5, and that's why I've done Late Shift and Guns Gore Cannoli before I start another big game.
Yeah,
I like to do a couple of little games between the big ones.
Palate cleansers, yeah.
So
And you finished Far Cry 5?
I finished Far Cry 5, yeah. I don't know if any...
Spoil the hell out of it.
No, I'm not going to spoil it, but I know some listeners listen to the Veteran Gamers and Duke Scaff wouldn't sort of like say much at all about his Far Cry 5 experience at the end. All I will say is the gameplay is really good. I really enjoyed it. There's a few annoying bits in it, which I've mentioned last week, but the ending is absolutely fucking terrible. It is one of the worst endings in a game ever. Do you know when you're a kid and you do something wrong and you got your parents and you say, are you mad at me, Mum? And they just turn around and say, no, I'm disappointed in you. Well, I'm disappointed in Ubisoft because this ending is shocking.
Really?
Shocking. You wanted the game to grab you by the scruff of the neck.
Well, I just wanted anything apart from what they did. Yeah, I just don't get the ending. I can't understand. And then they throw you back into the world. And if you knew what the ending was like, it's impossible. So, yeah, absolutely shockingly shit. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, I've heard people saying that 3 and 4 had better endings. And I've also heard lots of people say Far Cry 5 is a game that was controversial when it first came out because of its subject matter, but it's neither foul or feast or whatever the hell it is. It's neither one thing or another. They went half measure at the controversial stuff. They went half measure at the story.
Yeah.
Committing like Mafia 3, to the subject matter.
So if you're the wrong way around, really, the open world stuff is really fun. It's really fun. You do what you want and graphically it looks amazing. The HDR effect, the lighting effects are superb. But the story itself is just a bit cheesy and, like I say, the ending is just shocking.
That's a shame.
But you might enjoy it. It might be just me. So I don't want to influence anybody. I don't want to influence anybody's view on the ending. But, yeah, tweet me and let me know. I think I've been in talks with Duke. And we're maybe doing a spoiler cast with Chinny on this when Chinny finishes it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Phil, again, I've said before, I know you're a Far Cry fan, so you'll probably get to this eventually. This will probably not put you off because it's the gameplay update and what you can
do. But it's just the ending. But yeah, the gameplay I really enjoyed. So there's no reason not to play it.
Yeah, to be honest, in the other Far Cry games, I wasn't that fussed about the story, to be honest. It was more the gameplay.
Checking out the outpost and everything.
Yeah, I will get around to it, but it'll be at least a year, 2 years. I'll pick it up in the Black Friday sales when it's
I'd recommend getting this in a sale. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing in a year's time will end up on Game Pass.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry it didn't end the way you wanted it to. I mean... Well, is there a good way to end a game like that? You know,
There's better ways than what they did. Without spoiling it, it's hard to explain, but yeah. Once you know how it ends, you'll understand.
Oh, okay. Right. It was like Bobby Ewing. He was in the shower all the time. Phil, Machinery.
Yeah, so I can sort of put all these in one bucket. So
yeah,
I was looking for something to play on my iPad. So I've recently updated my iPad, got the new 9.7 2018 version. Nice. And I wanted some games to play. So I've always wanted to play Machinarium, which is where that puzzle game where you've got a little robot, very highly stylized, almost line driven, as you'll see there. Absolutely looks fantastic. And there was a bundle on the iTunes store, and they're all from Aminata Design, who made Machinarium. They also made Samorost 3 and Botanicula. And again, all three games look absolutely stunning.
I like the look
Samorost 3.
Yeah, that looks really nice.
Amazing. Really, really nice game. The artwork and the designs.
It reminds me of the art design. It looks a bit inside-ish.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. And Botanicula is just this really strange game where you're a group of, I suppose, friends. One's a twig, one's a leaf, one's an acorn, and you're running around a tree.
What are you, fucking
branches? Yeah. Bending leaves and all sorts. I think Machinarium is, so far, that's one I've spent the most time on.
I played it to completion. It's very good. It's lovely. It's
a really nice game. Samorost 3 is up there as well. Visually, it's absolutely amazing. And does a lot with sound as well, which really interests me.
Yeah, I miss having a decent iPad. Now, I use the Windows Surface for my work machine. And it's nice and handy, and it fires up quickly. I love the iPad for all these sort of tablet devices. You know, because the Surface you can use as a tablet, but it's not great for quickly pulling up photographs. Yeah. It's kind of odd. Yes, you can do it, but it is a bit more awkward. Where the iPads are brilliant for that sort of thing as a tool, and maybe I have an old one.
I traded my old one in. I got £100 for it, and that was an iPad. What was that, fourth generation? So
I've got a two or a three.
5 years old.
It stopped updating now, and there's a crack in the screen. So what do you do?
Yeah, mine stopped updating as well. so that got me £100 off. So, but yeah, it's a bit of fun. What I really like is for Xbox to come up with a way of streaming to the iPad. I just love that. At the moment, it's just Windows devices.
Okay.
So, but that would be ideal for me. Absolutely ideal for me to be on an iPad somewhere in the house and play Xbox games.
Yeah,
I thought there was something in beta on the dashboard, like a Windows preview thing for tablets. I'm sure Greg downloaded one a long time ago.
No, I haven't seen that.
I don't know if it's iOS compatible. Or, yeah,
that's probably it.
I'll look into that and find out.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Mark, the last thing I seen there is the Defiance 2050 beta.
Yeah. So the Defiance game, what they sort of like tied into the TV series a few years ago. I don't know how many years ago now where it was, but...
It must be quite a few years. Probably surprised you how long it was.
I played that on 360, and I quite enjoyed it on 360. But it did suffer a lot because of the limitations of a console, because it was an MMO as well. When you're taking down big bosses and a lot of people there, you had a lot of slowdown, a lot of lag with it, a lot of frame rate issues. But when I saw this was coming, Defiance 2050, I thought, ooh, it's a new game and a new time and everything. So I signed up to the beta, got my code, and the beta's open this weekend. Downloaded it, gave it a go yesterday. It's exactly the same fucking game. Exactly the same. The intro is exactly the same. Yeah, the same camp, the same intro, everything's the same. Graphically, it looks like a 360 game. It's nothing special. It did obviously run a lot smoother than the 360 version back in the day. But yeah, I wasn't impressed. I ended up turning it off. I've not been back on it. So yeah.
Oh well. All right. Okay. No sense spending more time on that.
No.
Cash in. Okay. All right. Well, look, that's all we've been playing. What have you been playing? Let us know. Send us a tweet or email the show, please. That'll be lovely. Okay. Time for a good list. Now, it's sort of a twist on this. We haven't done NPDs in a while, and our news and stuff here is all quite figures related. Did this week because it's the end of the financial year and we've started a new one and there's lots of new stuff coming out. But the NPDs for March are quite interesting. In March, Ubisoft, I'm not going to go through every detail here, but Far Cry 5 topped the charts, which is kind of cool considering it came out in the middle of the month. And it is now the best-selling game of 2018, which is kind of groovy. And Sea of Thieves followed not too far behind. So I'll go through some of the list, maybe the top 10 here, and put out stuff. So Far Cry 5 is number one at the top of the NPDs. Sea of Thieves is second. I think we're going to see a big tail off on that.
Yeah, did you see, there was actually an article recently about that, saying that a lot of people didn't renew their Game Pass. So they got the free couple of weeks Game Pass, and they saw a massive drop-off. Once that free period to stop, so
yeah, the free
month. Lots of people stopped playing Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves for a month, there you go. Anyway, well, the Game Pass is still a good proposition, you know. So MLB 18 the Show, it's a very American thing. Kirby Star Allies has came from nowhere, and it's fourth in the NPDs, and it's really helped in Nintendo sales figures. Grand Theft Auto 5. Is the fifth best-selling game in March.
How long has that game been out? When was it released?
Holy crap.
2012 or something, 2011?
Those news articles I was reading the other week there that this is now the biggest media-type thing ever. It has outstripped any film, any movie that has ever been released in sales.
Did you just say film?
Yeah, I did.
Don't talk bollocks.
Thank you, Mark. So it's made more money than any film, any movie. Sorry, fuck, I thought it again. Any movie that's out there, which is just unbelievable. And that's just the game. So this is top five, just that's the base game. Then you've got all those shark cards and DLCs and all other bits and pieces that come with it. Holy crap, that is unbelievable. Mm.
The online side's made them an absolute mint. And that's why... if you look at the history of Rockstar, every few years there was a game released. Since Grand Theft Auto 5 have not released, or have they?
just class. So, Call of Duty World War 2 is still there. Mario Kart 8, again, keeps on going. Of course, with the Switch. Ni No Kuni 2 is nicely up there as well. And then another American NBA 2K18. Monster Hunter World, I'm surprised that's not higher.
Yeah, I thought that would have been higher. It is Capcom's biggest selling game, though, isn't it? It is huge. Yeah.
And then Super Mario Odyssey. That's sort of the top 10, top 11 there. But it's nice to see the A Way Out is in 15th place there. And Assassin's Creed Origins right down to Splatoon 2, I think. The lack of games... The lack of tons of games for the Switch.
It's interesting that there's a little note right at the end there says note that not all publishers report digital sales. And I think this would be a slightly different list if it did include digital sales, especially with your likes of your PUBGs and some of your sort of like more PC side games.
Interesting enough. Okay, time for a bit of news.
Oh, that's me, isn't it?
Yep.
Here is the fucking news.
Damn it, I said film and they're laughing at me in the chat again. Okay, PUBG news. Bluehole's anti-cheat efforts for PUBG result in arrests. People have been arrested for cheating.
More the people who are making cheat programs for the game.
So they've been pushing hard against cheaters and hackers since the game came out last year. And what they're saying is on the 25th of April that the 15 suspects were arrested for developing and selling hacking cheating programs that affect PUBG malicious code, including Trojan horses, some of the stuff that was used to steal user information. So, they've been arrested and already they've been fined $5.1 million. I assume that's between them. There are guys there which are OMG.
They're going to read these out, Robin. How do you pronounce these?
Somebody called FL, and then there's Chinese, three sets of Chinese symbols, someone's names. I'm not maybe that clever that I can actually read that.
I'll see if it'll translate in the chat. There we go. Yeah, that's it. So if anybody knows what that means in the chat, let us know.
Yeah, the wiggly lines, please. I have no clue.
One of them looks like chicken fried rice and curry sauce, no?
Actually, the third one looks like Kim. That's Kim. Kim the hacker. it's wrong. And you ruin games by doing this stuff, so don't do it.
And people also, as well as ruining the game, it looks like you're being fleeced by the guys who've sold you this hackware anyway, because it looks like they've got Trojan horses and they're nicking all your details anyway, so you're going to get screwed over. So shame
very,
on you.
Very poor. Very poor. Anyway, well, it's nice to see they're doing something about it. I don't know how. I'm sure with every 5 hackers or 15 hackers they take away, there's another one. You're doing a translation there, Phil, are you? Yan Hong?
Yang Wang.
What, pardon?
My
Wang?
My Mandarin's a bit rusty, so it took me a while to...
The only Mandarin I know is that it looks like a Zatsuma.
Yeah, Mandarin's rusty. Oh, dear. It's like that rusty trombone thing again, isn't it? Anyway.
Next.
We're not going there. Okay. Greg will be so proud of me. I'm going to talk some figures here. And they're all quite balanced. So Sony has braced itself for PlayStation 4 sales to slow down as its install base hit 79 million.
Wow, that's so a big number.
Yeah, so their latest financial report, Sony has said that it's hit 75 million units sold, but the company is bracing itself for saturation point, so they think it's going to taper off. Yeah, understandably. They sold 19 million units in the last year, and it's down slightly from the year before, which was 20 million. But they expect it to be about 16 million units in this year, which is still kind of cool. Just amazing. Everybody owns one of these things or several of them. And there's people buying replacements and pros and everything now.
But they can't complain, though, because they make more money on the licensing of the games than the actual consoles, don't they? So
they do.
For every game what's out there and they sell, they get a percentage of that for the software license. So the more consoles out there, the more they're going to make. So,
well, what they're saying here is that they are expecting that the offset in hardware sales is going to be clawed back through software sales.
Ah, right, okay.
So software sales were up around 8.4 billion in 2017 fiscal year. And that's up around 6.6 billion in 2016 and 5.1 billion the year before. So as the consoles go out, more and more people that don't play video games a lot buy Call of Duty and FIFA and maybe one or two other games in the year. So, they expect that next financial year that software sales will go up. But they're not sure how much, but they'll definitely go up. Now, interesting point. So if you were to go back to early in 2014, the share price in Sony was worth about $17, almost $18, okay? And that's back at the beginning, sort of late 2013. So your $20 investment now is worth $45.50 per share, which is a good return on your investment for a sort of 5-year return. So Sony is going from strength to strength there as a company, and I'm sure this side of the company is probably, well, I know they do a lot of chip stuff and stuff like that as well, but this is a very healthy side of their company, because I don't know if the TV sales and hi-fis and stuff like that there is, well, are strong.
They've tailored off some of the number of the different models they're making, haven't they? I know the gaming side of it's sort of like subsidizing the whole company at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So to sort of put a bit of balance onto that, Microsoft news as well, with their, just this time of year, Microsoft gaming business is growing, according to some to financial reports. So some have said that Microsoft is not growing the Xbox brand. The numbers for the company's latest financial reports show growth in the gaming sector. So they said that there's an 18% uptick in revenue in the gaming division year over year, and 18% of any business is a fantastic amount of growth. Now, what they have also said is, so the revenue from season passes and DLC, you know, which is a big part of it, and third party sales, but they sort of just changed their focus a little bit, and they wanted to sort of focus on their interaction, so the, or what they would call the, was it the engagement with their consoles, engagement with their services. So things like Xbox Live. So Xbox Live in the last year has went up 13% to 55 million users across Xbox One and PC. Now, if you take this as a very straw poll thing, and you take 59 million and multiply 59 million by 50 quid, that's roughly just shy of 3 billion per year. Which is,
and that's just Xbox Live.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, that is just unbelievably. But out of that, they're saying, you know, they've reported profits of 8.9 billion from the gaming side of the business. Now, if we do the same thing for the Microsoft shares, sorry, figures. If you go back to late 2013, your shares in Microsoft were worth $33. $32.50. And if we go to today, they're worth $95.
Wow.
Yeah.
Triple.
Exactly. So, like, Microsoft is doing extremely well. Now, I know that's just the gaming, but as an overall company, you know, the Xbox platform is doing extremely well. So is Sony. It's fantastic for all of them. So to keep everything in balance, Nintendo also released some sales numbers. And the thing that's really turned them around is their Switch sales there and the software for the Switch. So they've released their financial report as well, and lifetime sales of the Switch 2. So worldwide, the best selling title on the Switch has been Super Mario Odyssey, selling just over 10 million copies since its release in October. And to put it in context with other Mario games, Super Mario Galaxy on the Wii, the current best-selling 3D Mario title, sold 12.75 million. So, you know, it's still behind the Wii, but it's coming on for a brand new console that people were really wondering about, would it sell, would it not sell? I mean, you compare it to things like Call of Duty as well, it's minute, but then again, the install base isn't there. Things like Mario Kart 8 is coming in at over 9 million units sold, and the Wii U version of the game was at 17 million, so it's a bit to go there, but again, doing very well. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is at 8.48 million, and on Switch, 1.5 million on the Wii U, 1.5 million on the Wii U, and 8.4 on the Switch. So healthy stuff there. And again, if I do the same thing, the Switch itself has sold 17 million units since its release in March 2017. So it's just over a year, 17 million units. That's, again, not terribly shabby. Hopefully it's within what they needed to be. So they're so they're hoping to sell next fiscal year, which runs from this time next year. They hope to sell 20 million Switch units over the next year. and 100 million units of software. And I think the Switch is really just finding its stride. Now, I hope there are reports that some nasty hacker boys have hacked the first batches of Switches, so like the one that I own right now, something to do with hacking the actual chip. So it will open up like the old DS was before. So let's hope that they can find a cure for this. It's not a software thing that can be replaced. It's in the hardware that they've found a way to go in and pirate stuff within the hardware, which can't be patched out. You know, you'd have to get your soldering iron out. Anyway, so if I do the, again, just finally, if we do the thing, same thing with Nintendo, and this is quite surprising as well. So back in 2013, Nintendo shares were worth 83. And today, there were 341.
That's Jesus.
So the best place to invest your money over the last 5 years have been Nintendo. Imagine 80 per share, 349 per share in 5 years. Now, if you were a brave man to stick £1 million of shares in 5 years ago in Nintendo, you'd be going, this is a bit of a risk. This Switch thing, this Wii U thing isn't going that well. You know, what the heck have they got? But if you were that brave man, holy crap. What if we talk about a return? Fantastic. There you go. The last sort of money tie-up thing is Belgium, the wonderful place of fabulous chocolates.
A nice, smooth beer.
They have called loot boxes. In fact, they have classified loot boxes as illegal. They are now going to be banned completely in the Netherlands. So Belgium has joined. Sorry, they've joined the Netherlands because Belgium is a completely different country altogether.
Geography 101 with Robin Tate.
Belgium has joined the Netherlands in declaring that randomized loot boxes in video games are gambling and are therefore illegal in the country. They have declared that salt is bad for you and so far illegal. What's that from? Demolition Man. So the Belgian Gaming Commission looked at Overwatch, FIFA 18, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and determined that the only loot boxes in the latter did not constitute a game of chance because they were taken out at the time of the investigation. Belgium's Minister of Justice, Koen Geens, is calling for their removal. Geens has requested that the Gaming Commission look into loot boxes after the Star Wars Battlefront 2 controversy, and he feels that minors in particular could be vulnerable to loot boxes' influence as gambling advertising. Do they still have a coal industry in Belgium?
No idea.
Oh, right, because it's just those minors. Be wondering if they were going to lose all that money. So Geens wants to meet with video game companies to discuss the removal of the loot boxes, stating that since these and any other games with them are in violation of the country's gaming legislation, a prison sentence and fine are possible. So in America, legislators in multiple states have proposed legislation involving loot boxes, called upon by the ESRB to address the matter systematically. So there you go. That's big. I mean, if you have loot boxes at all, what was that, the really big game of last year before PUBG? It was the battle game. You were all the different characters. Massive multiplayer game, but everybody was playing it. Damn it! And forget it. Anything with loot boxes, they're going to have to get ripped out of the game now. I mean, that's the issue.
But then. I've heard that EA are bringing the loot boxes back to Star Wars Battlefront 2, but they're all going to be cosmetic stuff. The controversy was a lot of the loot box stuff was for progression, which they've taken out. But like I think with PUBG, it's just cosmetic stuff. Is that still going to be classed as gambling?
No. Well, if you have to buy it and you don't know what you're getting in it, yeah. So I don't think it's about the progress. This guy here is not talking about that. He is talking about, you know, you throw down €5 and you don't know what you're getting. and you might get something good, you might get something bad, and that's the gambling aspect of it. So that's what they're talking about doing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a loot box to progress through that way, but if there's money involved, that's bad. Yeah,
so if you're using in-game credits like on PUBG, it doesn't really matter? Because it's only cosmetic stuff. Because you don't use real-world money, do you?
Yeah. I think anywhere where there's real-world money...
Mind you, having said that, you can sell your loot crates on Steam version for real money. so that means you can buy them.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an option in the Xbox PUBG to get more credits.
All right. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, to go and buy more stuff. Yeah. Anyway, the loot box thing rattles on and on. Star Wars Battlefront 2 kind of really brought it to a head. Who would have thought that all this from horse armor? Huh? Cool. Okay. What I would like you to do, Phil, before we do the quiz, is can you go through some of the new releases and victory achieved if I don't come back, but I have to just to skip out of the room just 1 second?
Yep, sure, no worries. So new releases first. We have a new music, Mark.
Yeah, it's playing, but it's fairly quiet.
Oh, okay. So for this week, we've got Battlezone Gold Edition on PS4, Xbox One, PC on May the 1st. Also on May the 1st, we've got Outbreak, The Nightmare Chronicles on Xbox One. Super Mega Baseball 2 on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May the 1st. I take it that's a follow-up to the one that's on the free games.
Yeah, but this is a free game, what's coming out next week.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
We've got Coffee Crisis.
A daily occurrence for most
PC
people.
On May the 2nd. Killing Floor Incursion on PSVR. On May the 1st. Total War Saga Thrones of Britannia on PC on May the 3rd. City of Brass on the PS4, Xbox One, PC on May the 4th. And Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze on the Switch on May the 4th. A new Donkey Kong.
Excellent. And I'm back. Okay, good stuff. Out of those there, Outbreak Nightmare Chronicles looks kind of scary. It looks like a Resident Evil sort of clony type thing. It looks quite good. Killing Floor and PSVR. Whoa. So there's some, and City of Brass. City of Brass has some of the developers from BioShock.
And what's it about? I've never, not even heard of that one.
I don't really know what it's about. It is, some of the video comes up slapped over the developers from BioShock, and I think it's maybe some of the T-Boy and the Cleaner got together and they worked in the BioShock offices. I don't know. It looks quite atmospheric, the little intro video for it. And again, it's nice to see that the old Wii U stuff, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, are starting to appear on Switch. So because there's lots of really good Wii U stuff that needs to come back. Hopefully it's probably full price because they probably didn't sell enough on the Wii U anyway. Anyway, let's go to your quiz, Mark, if you can do quiz time.
Yeah.
Quiz.
The Overseas Connection presents the world famous, well, okay, not so famous, audio quiz.
So, because it's the end of April, sadly we're coming to the end of the season for the audio quiz.
Wow.
But me and Greg are working on something to come out post E3, so we will be doing something similar shortly, hopefully. But it's just hard to keep getting all these audio clips of games what you guys are playing.
Yeah, it's obviously too easy for some people.
Yeah, yeah.
Kim,
yeah. It's because she's only played about three different games. So we're back to the old format where you've both got two sound clips from games you have played in the last 12 months. Who wants to go first?
Go on, then.
Right, Phil, here's your first game.
Proceed to the first set of coordinates. Firebrand and the second team will head to the next drop point.
Detecting
increasing biological signatures in the area ahead. And I'd say we're in the right place.
You know what this is doing. Today, people. Just because this city was a bad... Go on, man. I ain't going to play them all. Because,
XCOM.
One or two.
I'll say two.
The Rex Commando!
It is, yeah. All right, Robin, are you ready for your first one?
I'm ready. Come on. I've got my cups ready to go.
What a question.
Oh.
All right. My mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, the unstoppable Fry twins. See them nightly at Covent Garden.
That's an easy one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
It certainly is with Fry twins. Like I said, I've sort of like cobbled this together last minute tonight.
No, these are really difficult. Yeah, we need to get the scores back up.
Both for 15 points each.
Yeah. Keep going. Do another 10 each like this here and we'll be fine.
I've got to add your scores before I forget. So that's one for Phil and one for Robin. Right, Phil, your second one is this one here.
Oh, no, it can't be. In the Reavers' dugout, isn't that the legendary ex-coach, Helmut Zwinner?
Sure is, Jim. Didn't you know, as a favor to JJ, swimmers come out of retirement to mentor the new coach for the first few games.
And what about that incident that forced him to leave in the first place?
What? That tabloid sting in 04 involving a pair of halflings?
It looks quite fun, that.
Yes, it's Blood Bowl 2.
It is.
Correct the mundo!
Cool! You're on fire today,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, storming it. Right, Robin, you ready for your last one?
Go for it!
Isaac. Isaac, can you hear me? Dana, I found Isaac Clark. Repeat, I have him.
Great work, Franco.
Go on then, Robin. It's an easy one for you.
That'll be Dead Space there, lad.
Which version of Dead Space?
Well, I played both.
Which one's this one?
Well, I only switched on the first one and only played the first intro, so it can't be the second, so it has to be the first one. Dead Space, Dead Space.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure?
Because yes,
the games were gold.
Yeah, but I can't say I played it. I didn't start the game, I only had the intro. Dead Space 2?
Robin. Well done, Robin. How did you guess that?
Wow! Peace to you too, Mark. Oh, Kim is the chap going, no!
Don't worry, Kim, you've still won this season. 19 and a half points. Robin nearly caught Greg. Greg got 11. Robin's got 10. Phil's got 6. Mike's got 4. Fraser and Rich have got 2. And Nicole's got 1.
And Kim, the prize for winning this season's competition is that for the next season, each week you have to prepare the audio clips.
Yeah, it's your turn to do the quiz. That's your prize for winning, Kim.
Yay! Now you've got all this free time in your hands. You can do that. What type of animal on the farm is this?
What sex Very is good. This animal? Because my brother got it wrong.
Ah, oh, dear. You know what? This little audio quiz has been good because people can join in at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, we are working on something for after E3, so watch this space. Cool.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so victory achieved. And Phil, you're going to talk about some victory achieved.
I am. So victory achieved, just to remind you, is our contest that we run on a quarterly basis. So if you finish a game, take a selfie of yourself with the credits in the background and send it to @OC_podcast on Twitter with the hashtag victory achieved. And this month's victory achieved are Dinoc TQ with Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice, Marcanix with Far Cry 3, you can't enter. Marcanix again, Late Shift, you can't enter.
Ah, bollocks.
Bobbins, Uncharted Lost Legacy, Infected Psyche, Psychonauts and Rhombus Ruin, and Chopper Keller 1, Super Hot.
Super and Hot.
The next contest runs until the 30th of June. And you can win a $20 or £15 gift card for PSN, XBL or Steam.
Excellent. Infected Psyche, Mr. Shannon, Psychonauts and the Rhombus Ruin. The photograph of him is using a VR headset, so this looks like a Psychonauts in VR. So
and
that's
you,
a bit.
Do you know something, Robin? He could have bought that game with his winnings from what he won for last month's Victory Chiefs.
I hope he was a winner.
He was a winner last month, yeah. He got $20.
Do you know what? Better say winner, winner, chicken dinner. And Judith said to me this morning, do you know, Robin, I really fancy a chicken dinner. And I went, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And she went, what? I said, Judith, you're just not with it. Are you really married to me 21 years? By the way, I was married 21 years this week. There you go.
Congratulations. Wow.
Anyway, very good. And for that, your first little touch of a prize is this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have a victory's achieved.
Okay, the witching hour is at hand, and it's almost time to pack up my sleigh and my mice and my pumpkin and jump before, I don't know, time for bed. Anyway, if you want to join in, and Feller Mark, if you want to have a look at the chat there and who's been in, we podcast every single week at the same time. 9 o'clock in the UK, 4 o'clock on the East Coast, and 6 p.m. in, 1 p.m. in the East Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. I must delete that. 6 p.m. in Easter Island. And you'll get us at twitch.tv OC Podcast or mixer.com OC Podcast or on YouTube or somewhere. You'll find us there as well. Please, a review on iTunes would be very useful, or anywhere you'd like to leave a review. Leave it anywhere you want. Post it on a lamppost and take a photograph and send it in. But if you want to do that, you can send your emails and all your other bits and pieces to here.
Is that me?
Nicole.
You like us.
Slick machine.
See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com.
You ready for this?
We'd love to hear from you.
You ready for it?
Nicole, oh, goodness me, open a window. All right, let's get out of here. Shout outs, and let's shout people out in the chat first of all.
Well, I don't know about lurkers. I can only sort of like shout out people who have actually posted something. So we've got Sarah RCGC, who's every week supporting us. Fraser, who's been in there. Bosswave Pilch popped in, said hello. Bobbins is in there. Who else we got? Scrolling. One handsome devil. Yeah. So yeah. We've had Kim on the YouTubes.
Yeah. Wallace 420.
Mm-hmm.
And Slow Cool.
Slow Cool and One Handsome Devil. Very good. Thank you for joining into the live chat. It's always nice. And don't lurk. Say something silly. Yeah. One Handsome Devil. You're one handsome devil. Okay, I would like to shout out Sarah because Sarah is taking her PlayStation on the run. She's going house hunting, and I want to wish her all the very, very best with her house hunting. And I think it's quite sad, but also quite cute that you're bringing your PlayStation with you. Mark, is there anybody you would like to say hello to tonight?
Just shout out you guys, as usual. I love podcasting every week with you guys. Shout out to Greg, my PUBG duo buddy. We had some good games this week. And just shout out to everyone in the chat and all the listeners. How about you, Phil?
Yeah, thanks to you guys again. And thanks for Greg for not turning up. Much appreciated. Lurking in the background somewhere, and it's been a really good week, a good show, and hopefully everyone have a really good week this week, and we can all report back on some fun stuff and good game playing and some good community stuff.
Excellent. So I hope everybody has a fantastic week. Please check me out at bongosbits.com. You'll tweet me at @BongoTheSane. You'll get Mark at @MarkAnnex and Phil at @PhilThePH1.
Philthy.
So I hope everybody has a fantastic gaming week. Good and safe and positive. Get up off your backside and go for a walk if you're not going to game. And don't bother your ass.
And don't hurt your leg.
And don't hurt your leg like me. Yes, don't do as I do.
And hopefully the pollen will be lower this week, because it's been really bad this week. My hay fever has been very bad.
I believe they're giving snow for some parts of the UK tomorrow, so I don't think pollen will be too much of an
issue. It's been cold today, though, hasn't it? Well, as it is, it's been
nice and bright today, but it has been sharp enough. Cold up north.
Yeah.
So, and one last thing.
Winter's coming.
Pretty much everything on Monty Python is available on Netflix at the moment. So go enjoy it, some Monty Python. Okay. Anyway. We're out of here. That's an hour and a half done, slightly more. That's good. It's now time for bed, guys, and time to get up for work in the morning. Americans and all you people that are all over there, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you next week on the Overseas Connection podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.